Hello, I'm David Zimmer. We're going to be talking with Chris Gould about some of her experiences with education and teaching in various countries around the world, some of which that I know are Mexico, Guatemala, Spain, now in India as well. She will soon be going to South Korea.
I've been here in Oroville for 2 months. I'm visiting my sister and her two children go to Deepanam, so I was volunteering at Deepanam. And I was volunteering at New Creation School. It's been very interesting, very different experience. The school experience here in India has been very different than the other places I've taught. Deepanam is based on the mothers and Sri Aurobindo's teachings, and it's kind of based on the idea that it's very child-centered, and it's very much about creating learning opportunities that nourish a child, but it's not a rigid kind of structure or curriculum like many public schools that I've worked at in private schools. So it's more based on what is the child interested in. The children, they do reading and they do writing and they do learn about science. They have archaeology and they have art class, they have dance class, they have music. They have chanting in the morning, which is really beautiful. Most of the kids are second language English speakers. Their first language is other than English. A lot of them have a difficult time with English, and I was helping them with the English part of their program, just 2 days a week going in and reading with the kids and doing a little bit of writing. But I know that if some of the children were not very interested in learning about, like there's one student in particular, and his second language is English, and he just doesn't have a really strong desire and does not like to be pushed into learning English. You know, he's absorbing it and he's involved, but he's not really motivated to get in there and start reading and writing and in the classroom, and he's doing other activities. But there is definitely the belief that you don't want to stifle a child. That's my understanding of their philosophy, that we provide opportunities for a child. It's important not to push a child or stifle a child or force them into learning a certain curriculum, like many schools in other parts of the world.
There is a formal structure for traditional subjects, but then there's more freedom within that for the kids to explore their specific interests.
Compared to a traditional public school, which is a very set curriculum. You need to learn your alphabet by this time in kindergarten. Then you're reading and writing by this time, by the end of kindergarten. Then it's just very rigid and very rigidly defined and very set, the curriculum. And it doesn't take into account, I find, public education, that every child is different, that you know we as teachers are different. It's kind of like forcing all this curriculum onto children to do well on a test, to show how much they've learned. It's like cramming as much information as possible. So I can compare it to that, where it just feels like a lot more freedom for a child. It feels very child-centered. It's not based on how well a child takes a test. It's not always measuring what a child knows. It's more explorative, child-centered in that, for instance, if you're studying science and one child is really interested in spiders, then the teacher encourages them to learn about the spiders. And another child is really interested in the weather, then that child really explores the weather. But it's not forcing each child to learn the same exact thing in the same exact way. I think it allows for more freedom.
I guess it's more qualitative than quantitative in terms of the metrics for measuring the success of teaching, right? There's not an emphasis on grading and scores and things in that system. What have you found is the result, like from your experience? What do you see in the kids that are in that system versus other systems that you've been teaching in? Does it work?
Because each child is an individual, just like, you know, each person is an individual. I think that perhaps certain children really flourish in that kind of environment, whereas other children might flourish more with a structured environment. And just like teachers, certain teachers would really flourish in the very structured environment of more like a public school. And I know that some teachers really like that structure. I'm kind of in between in my philosophy. But what I do really appreciate and respect about the model of Deepanam, it allows the child to be free, and it's so not stifling. There's so much creativity that happens when I think a child is not forced to study and learn something just in order to kind of repeat it back how much they've learned or take a test. And, you know, all this pressure on students and on teachers to perform. It's so much about performing. And at Dipanam, I see that it's really about the learning process.
What I'm really interested in is to know whether students that you interacted with in this other style of teaching, if they, at similar ages, I mean, do they appear to you to be at the same level of abilities as kids at the same age in other in the more traditional school system?
Comparing the two, I would say by first grade in the schools, in the public schools where I've worked, the kids, they have to read and write competently. And there's so many resource teachers, specialists, because then they can't make it to the second level and then to third grade and then to fourth grade. And then because it's such a competitive and structured performance-based kind of system. I'm talking about the U.S. So I would say on the one hand, maybe they are reading and writing more competently. But then, you know, what's happening inside to them? What's happening to their heart? And do they learn those social skills? Do they learn to communicate in a nonviolent way? Do they learn to connect to their heart and to their spirit? And a lot of these kids, I see them stressed out, first graders, because they have this big test to take. You know they have to perform. And then the teachers are stressed out because if they don't perform, then the principal talks to you and thinks that you haven't done your job, and then that the school district comes and says, why aren't your children performing at this level? And then, you know, it's from on and on and on, the state, then the government, whatever. I think that's the important thing about education, is knowing that not one way is the right way, and that happens so much in public education. Being forced to teach in a certain way, and your students have to learn a certain curriculum by a certain time, and a certain amount of curriculum, and if they're not learning, then they're going to fall back. And it's like taking the time to really see what kind of learner is the student. So are they more kinesthetic? Are they more visual? Are they more verbal or oral? So I think that it really just depends on a teacher's way of teaching and also on the students, how that student learns better. Like, for instance, Earth Day. At Dipanam, it's like you really talk to the children on a heart, spirit, soul level. I see the teachers doing that all the time, bringing them back to, okay, what do you believe? And kind of encouraging children to access their own inner voice and communicate from that deep place. Like I noticed they were talking about accessing the silent voice or the silent place within. When you're out in nature, which I thought was beautiful. In public schools, I've rarely heard that be a part of a lesson, you know? Having children talk about what the earth means to them, their relationship with the earth, how they take care of the earth, how they feel towards the earth, and what they hear from the earth. For instance, we read a story about a little boy who was talking about how beautiful the earth is and how we need to take care of the earth and what do we give the earth and what the earth gives back to us. They sat under the tree and they meditated. Well, it was a part of a whole lesson on Auroville and learning about the mother and Sri Aurobindo and kind of connected, you know, into Earth Day. Those are things I find so valuable. And that wouldn't happen in a different school structure. And I see that happening in the U.S. and many schools. It's all, like I said, performance-based. You have to teach a curriculum. You don't have time to go and sit under a banyan tree and meditate and feel the voice within and feel that silence and feel your spirit and your heart. And I love that. I love that. I think that any school, if it's possible, it's really important. That should be a huge part of curriculum. And that's what I made a part of my curriculum as a classroom teacher in the places that I've taught. Even if it's 5 minutes, you know, I had six-year-olds, if you can imagine, kindergartners. Sometimes I would just say, okay, close your eyes. And I wouldn't call it meditation, but I would say close your eyes and feel your heart. Think of somebody who loves you so much and that you love so much. and then feel how that feels. You know, for me, it was important if it was 20 minutes out of, oh my God, I have to finish this math lesson, and then, you know, we have to go to this assembly, and then we're going on this field trip. I have to get the permission slips out and make these copies, and I'm so stressful sometimes being a teacher. You're like a time master and a taskmaster, you know, a timekeeper. It's very stressful. But I found that it was so worth taking that 20 minutes to calm myself down and find that quiet voice within and do some breathing and mindfulness practice, and for them as well, encourage them, because you get so much more out of the experience and it's so much more fruitful in the end. At Dipanam, there's every morning a morning circle, and then they do prayers and chants, and it's really beautiful. They do a meditation. They really connect to these teachings. They don't have those layers up yet that we as adults get. And if they're really encouraged just to find that place within that they're already connected to, that we all were connected to always, but we maybe lose as we grow up and we get more layer after layer after layer that we have to work on taking away, then I think if you encourage those children, they have it there already.
Then manifest, or does it show in their behavior in general and how they interact with each other and how they interact with teachers? Do you notice a difference with them from other kids that you've worked with in other places that don't have that experience?
From what I've seen, they really, I think all kids, they fight and they kind of do that thing where they gossip about each other, or like, or this friend is my best friend today, but tomorrow they're not going to be my friend because they wouldn't give me a cookie, or, you know. But I think that's just human nature, and it's about figuring out how to work within conflict. I see them really encouraged to work things out. So if there's a conflict between two students, one of them might say, you know, how would that feel for you, and what does your heart say in that situation?
You see the same things happening with kids here as in other places, that kids are kids. You don't see a qualitative difference in the behavior of kids towards each other. I mean, in my experience as growing up as a student in school and also working with kids later in life, I mean, especially in the U.S., I found that there's incredible amounts of cruelty. And in the U.S. public school system, there's very little that's done to address that in any meaningful way. And I was amazed as a kid and also amazed as an adult how bad that is and how difficult it is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you see the same types of patterns of behavior and things between the kids? But you're saying that it's just addressed differently by the teachers? Or do you see that there is a qualitative difference, actually, in the way the kids behave and relate to each other, maybe because of their exposure to these teachings?
Okay, if I compare my experience working in very difficult neighborhoods in the U.S., in America, low income, lots of violence, lots of gangs, shootings, we had lockdowns at our schools, a lot of violence. I mean, we had times where there was a shooting in the neighborhood behind the school, and the man came out of the house, and the police were overhead in a helicopter, and then, you know, the man ran down the street with a gun, and we took all the kids in. We had to lock everything down, meaning we locked the whole school, we shut all the doors, we keep the kids inside. It was 2 hours before we could leave. This is the kind of violence and lack of consciousness and lack of awareness that these children are growing up in America, in those particular schools that I've had experience with. So I definitely see a huge difference, of course, obviously, here. I haven't personally seen as much aggression in either New Creation or Dipanam. And I really do think that those teachings from the mother and Sri Aurobindo, I really feel like the children really take it to heart. Most beautiful thing when we went to Matra Mandir, and then we came back and Falguni led a little talk about it. We sat in a circle and asked all the children what they learned from it, and they're just so beautiful, their responses and the way they were so present and so connected to it. They were talking about the light that comes in the way that it shines on the crystal ball and the way the clouds pass by, and how it was the passing of time. I mean, these are like deep thoughts from coming from kids. I think that was the first and second graders. And they said things about the banyan tree, how they love the banyan tree and how they feel. We talked about how that feels to sit under the banyan tree and how that tree is so alive and how it's wonderful that what the banyan tree gives to us. And then said very similar things. Oh, when I go out and sit under the banyan tree, I feel so much love. Or, you know, the earth, we need to take care of the earth because the earth is taking care of us. So we need to clean up the earth, pick up after the earth, I mean, after ourselves for the earth. All the things that they noticed that maybe, you know, other kids don't take the time to be that present or aware. Those are the teachings that I see coming from the mother in Sri Aurobindo. I think those are really, that's kind of the essence of the teachings. All those things are connected.
I wanted to ask you, just to kind of conclude it, what kind of lessons you're going to take with you when you leave Oroville now and you're going to your next step?
I'm going to quit teaching. I'm just kidding. Personally, I've found it really, really transformative being here because I was very interested because it was kind of like this, what I read before I came, Experiment in Humanity. And, you know, I've lived in collectives before, kind of on a very small scale, like 10 people in a Buddhist collective, all sharing a philosophy, meditating together, doing nonviolent communication, sharing your life together. There's so much conflict and suffering and violence in the world, and particularly the neighborhoods I've worked in. And it's really heartbreaking to see the children that I've worked with that experience all those things. They don't have, they're not connected to themselves, to that inner voice. They're not connected to their hearts. They're not connected to family or community. Oh, they are, but it's very, there's a lot of difficulty within that family structure, within that community. And so they don't really have good models. Some do, luckily. There are some families, like, thank goodness, with all the gang violence and the drugs and the abuse and alcoholism and drug addiction. And it just breaks your heart being a teacher working in those neighborhoods, but you feel such a strong purpose that you want to plant seeds of hope. You want them so much to feel that inner voice in their heart and the feeling that they are valuable and they are worthwhile and they can change their life and they can hope for the future. Things like that that you see kind of shut down, right, in children that I've worked with, mostly in the U.S. So coming here, it's like my dream to find a community that has those beliefs and philosophy, the philosophy that I so value, that I think that we can find the joy and peace and love in all the things that Oroville is based on. And when I read that, I just loved the idea of it. It's human nature to sometimes have conflict and to go through life. And sometimes you have good things that happen, sometimes bad things that happen. Nothing's perfect. But the most important thing is that you are connected to a higher purpose in life and to your own heart, to your own spirit. This experiment in humanity that people from all over the world can actually come here and coexist and hopefully coexist well, you know, and find a deeper meaning and a deeper purpose in life. And I've met so many incredible people that have really experienced that. So I'm really grateful. It's changed me personally in that way. And as a teacher, you know, of course, if I feel like I've personally been changed. I feel it's opened my mind and my feelings and my philosophy as far as how to teach children. It's really been a transformative experience as far as that.